Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast and Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore. Feels like a chucking day.
Must be talking Pistons.
It feels like we're gonna chuck up some shots. By the way, Monday night I played some pickup ball, and I was letting it fly. I was letting it fly. I played with Devin Carpertian. I never know how to pronounce his last name.
Why is he in Minnesota?
He's said it on Twitter. His girlfriend's dad lives here and got married.
Okay.
So they were.
Confused by that. I was like, did you go to Brooklyn and not tell me?
We were on a lake together. And on a boat. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of people, but we were on there. We hung out, and then we played some pickup ball Monday night. And there was a point where I think I chucked a 35-footer, and Devin tweeted this out today, but someone on the opposing team said, I wouldn't have taken that shot, but I also don't have 100,000 tweets. I just can't remember if I made that one, because I hit a couple of really deep ones. At one point, but it was.
Didn't you apologize? I thought you sent last week. You retweeted someone that actually had you apologizing in text message form for your shot selection.
Oh yeah, because I mean, there was one game where Monday night where I got hot. I mean, I got really hot. Like I hit four deep ones in a row to start off the game, and just like, and then from that point on, was face guarded the rest of the night, which is fun, not fun. And then
was it the same guy?
No, this was Steve McPherson.
No, McPherson.
Our friend Steve McPherson face guarded me the rest of the night.
Feelings aren't numbers, man.
And I got a really bum ankle right now. Like my ankle's pretty bad, so that sucks.
You got face guarded by Grantland.
I did.
That's the second time this year ESPN shut you down.
This is a blog war. Oh, but. But yeah, so that happened. But then, other than that game, I got hot. My passing was good, but God, I could not hit a shot. And so I kind of felt bad. Like I kind of feel like maybe it's getting old when I'm just chucking shots. So I'm gonna try to actually play some basketball next time. I give it an hour until I'm back to chucking shots, but I'm gonna at least try.
This segment brought to you by Brandon Jennings.
Speaking of, the Detroit Pistons went over. They had an overhaul this year. This summer, and I don't know if it's good, I don't know if it's bad, but I am really, really intrigued. Like, this team may be I try to watch as much as I can anyway, but this team might be a definite league pass team for me.
They're built very much in your model, and I think that the more you watch Josh Smith, the better that all of our lives are going to be. Not yours. I mean, here's the thing, right? So here's kind of what's awesome about this team. You can go, and every other player you're either going to like or despise.
Right. There's no middle ground. There's no even real hedging with this team. It's just like this is a very polarizing roster, top to bottom.
Peyton Siva right now is on their roster. I like him a lot.
Of course you do.
Tony Mitchell is on their roster. Ooh, I like him a lot.
I don't know if I like him for actual basketball rotation, but I do like him in a blowout. He's going to dunk on somebody.
Yeah, you need those dunks. I just got to figure out who's going to pass to him to throw the lobs.
All tip dunks. He'll have plenty of opportunities.
Kyle Singler.
Yeah, I like Kyle.
Luigi Datome, who I have no idea who this person is and will only think of the video game character when I hear his name.
I like him because he goes by Gigi.
Gigi. This team is ridiculous.
It really is.
Andre Drummond, who everyone loves. Chauncey Billups is back.
Well.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
I don't know if he's back.
Will Bynum. They re-signed for no apparent reason.
No, Will Bynum's nice.
Yeah, but I don't want him on that team. I want him somewhere else.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
I'm tired of him as a Piston.
That's fair.
Greg Monroe, who I love. He's one of my favorite players in the league. Jonas Jerebko, who I desperately want to get more minutes. I love this guy.
That guy is a Carlos Delfino waiting to happen, though. He is a guy that is going to annoy a lot of people. And I don't mean that as a bad thing.
I really hope that Cheeks plays him, because I really like what he brings to the table.
It's weird that he's one of the few players I think you and I agree on in this league. Because I'm high on him, too. I know, out of all people.
All people. They're still paying Rodney Stuckey and Charlie Villanueva a combined over $17 million.
Of course they are.
$17 million for Charlie V and Rodney Stuckey. They had all this overhaul, and they didn't get rid of Charlie Villanueva or Rodney Stuckey.
Remember that revelation we kind of had on the podcast a while back about how Josh Smith was Charlie Villanueva on offense?
Yeah.
Now they got two of those guys.
They got two Charlie V's.
They have cornered the market on those guys.
And they got jorts.
They did. They got jorts.
They got Josh Harrelson, a.k.a. jorts. They let Jason Maxiel go. They let Jose Calderon go, which is wise because he would not have been worth what the Mavs paid to keep him. They traded Brandon Knight. They traded Kravtsov, who I never saw play. They traded Chris Middleton, and they waived Kim English. I didn't like those decisions. I didn't like those at all. I like those guys.
Yeah, especially because they waived Kim English so they could sign Chauncey.
Yeah.
Which would have been cool, you know, before 2011.
Yeah, like Chauncey's going to take a management position with the league, but he could have done that anyway.
Right.
And I'm almost like, it's also annoying to me that Chauncey like forced them to spend the amount that they did on him. I'm like, just take the minimum. Just accept it. This is who you are, Chauncey. Live with it.
I have a dilemma. That's not really a dilemma, but it's a little bit of a dilemma. Our schedule, as it is, we go really, really hard around the trade deadline, right?
Yeah.
And then the idea, you know, basically at CBS is they kind of let us go on like a little vacation in March and to kind of recharge our batteries and get ready for the playoffs, which is great. It's really awesome. But that first week of March, when I would probably take my vacation, Detroit Pistons come to town. I'm going to have to base my entire vacation time in March around this Detroit Pistons team. That is not something I ever thought I would do. But I have to see this team in person.
You should. Well, here's what you should do. You should take your vacation the next day, and then you can have the night off. You can go to that game, but go as a fan.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And get hammered.
That's an even better idea.
And video log it.
That might get me fired.
This could be the best thing that has ever happened.
It could also cost me my job.
No, here's what you do. You vlog it, but you don't release it for like a year later, and then we'll release it. It'll be like an audiobook in video form.
Once I get fired from CBS, then we're like, all right, this is why we did it.
Totally worth it. By the way, I just said it'll be like a book in video form, otherwise known as a movie. Just want to point that out. By the way, like 15 people last week on Twitter started hitting me up about how dumb it is that I locked the door about the beat.
Yeah, that was really stupid.
I maintain that security measures have to be taken.
I mean, I don't want to come off as rude here, but that bee is not a velociraptor.
He's still out there.
Of course he is. He's pollinating.
He's waiting. He's gonna bring his friends. It's terrible. Okay, who's gonna take more dumb shots next year, Josh Smith or Brandon Jennings?
Hold on. This is something I actually have to research. So Brandon Jennings took 1,247 shots last year, and Josh Smith took, where's Josh Smith? He took 1,182. That's actually really close.
Right.
So they're off by 60. I gotta think at least half of each player's shots were dumb. I'm actually gonna go Josh Smith. I think. Now call me an idiot here, but I think we're going to see a transformation with Brandon Jennings. At least
you think of the two players, you think that Jennings is going to be the one to get it.
Yeah, why not? Don't actually answer that, but why not?
You think he's going to become a pure point distributor, do you?
I mean, I have no reason to think he wouldn't.
A veteran leader?
Other than four years of NBA basketball, what makes you think he can't?
You realize here? I guess here is the if for you, from your perspective. Here's the really concerning part. Josh is really he's the veteran leader on this team besides Billups. It's him and Billups, and that's it.
Good God.
It's him, Billups, and Charlie V.
And after watching Billups' shot selection with the Clippers the last couple years.
Yep. Like, who's going to tell them don't take that shot?
This is going to be a fascinating after practice shooting competition.
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot of fun. I should move to Detroit for the season.
If we're projecting their starting lineup.
All right. It's
Brandon.
It's Brandon.
Stuckey.
Yeah, Brandon Stuckey. Smith. Do they go big?
Yeah, the idea right now, I think, is that they're going to go big and they're going to play Smith, Monroe, Drummond.
God, I like that. I mean, I don't know if it works, but Greg Monroe is the best shooter on the floor.
Yep. And then your backups are Billups, Caldwell Pope,
Gigi,
Singler,
Jerebko. Oh, Charlie. This is kind of a deep team.
Is Tony Mitchell their backup center?
I would imagine they just stagger Monroe and Drummond, right?
Yeah.
Do you actually believe that Drummond will start?
I do.
Okay. I don't know that I'm sold on that. I would like him to.
He's a legit star, and I honestly feel like Frank was doing it. Coaches do this, and they will say that they don't. They do things specifically just because the media says that they should. Like the media says, why isn't this guy starting? And so they're like, screw you. He's not going to start. I mean, there are reasons, like all rookies kind of struggle to get floor time and stuff like that, but like there was a point last year where I've defended Lawrence Frank a lot, but I was like, there's no reason. There's absolutely no reason that Andre Drummond is not starting at this point in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I am of the belief that rookies should have to. I mean, there are very few cases where I don't believe this, but like rookies should have to prove that they have earned minutes, you know? But even with Drummond, I was thinking, like, this feels like it's just a rookie thing and it's not a talent or effectiveness thing. Because when Drummond was on the court, he was pretty effective, right?
Yep.
Like, just the plus-minus? What was he? I'm looking it up right now. We did a lot of research before this podcast.
Tons.
Tons of research. All right. Pistons, stats on off. Because I just feel like his impact was pretty severe.
NBA got him at minus 0.9, which is still really good for the Pistons.
That's good on such a bad team.
Yep, it's, I think, the highest of anybody on the team. Yeah, it's tied with Corey Maggette and Vaclav.
I think it's just Slavikraft stuff. I actually ordered a Slavikraft stuff once, and too much mint.
You're like a 1930s comedian sometimes.
I'm going to pretend that was a compliment. I mean, they were much better on offense with him. They were 5.2 points better on offense with him on the court, and they were 0.5 points better defensively.
I'm waiting for you to be like, just play pickup ball with the Pistons, and boy, are my arms tired. Like, that's what I'm waiting for from you. The thing is, like, here's the question. How good are they going to be? That's, I think, is the question. Is they did a lot of stuff that's really interesting. Are they going to be significantly better? Wages of Wins think so, which is totally surprising and not at all related to the fact that they have three guys that rebound effectively.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like them. The thing is that, all right, you and I agree there are six locks in the East for playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Heat, Pacers, Bulls, Nets, Knicks, Hawks. Like, those six teams are a lock. And then I think that after that, it's, you know, vying for the final two spots are the Raptors, the Wizards, the Cavs, if healthy, the Pistons, and the Bucks, right? Like, no one outside of that is really going to do it.
I'm leaning towards the Wizards as a lock, too.
Really? You know, I like me some John Wall.
Man, veterans, John Wall, Bradley Beal. I got a hard time seeing.
I think if I had to put my money on it, I would pick the Raptors and the Wizards at this point. Just they seem like the two most ready teams to me.
I put the Raptors there.
This Pistons team is talented. Like, I don't know that they're good, but there is a lot of talent there.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think that's, here's kind of the thing though is, I mean, I look at the Raptors, right, and they've got Rudy Gay, Kyle Lowry, Valanciunas, and then that's after that. There's a pretty big drop off, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I guess it depends on how much you believe in.
Right. Yeah, everyone else is at least a question mark.
Yeah.
And versus, like, the Wizards, you look at it and you go, John Wall is good. Nene is good.
Yeah.
Emeka Okafor is decent.
He's good in his role.
Right. Martell Webster's good in his role. And then the question is, like, if Bradley Beal gets healthy, gets a shot line, you think he's going to be good.
Right.
Okay, so that's more right there. Cleveland, right? Kyrie, Bynum, Varejao.
Those guys are good. Well, yeah, and then Deion, Tristan's a little bit of a question, although he did switch hands on free throw, or he is a right-handed shooter now, which is, that's odd.
Tristan was decent last year, but even
he showed great improvement. Yeah, he showed great improvement last year, but I still think you could say he's a little bit of a question. So that's really only three guys you feel confident in, right?
And even Bynum's a huge question. So you're really just Kyrie and Varejao.
And then, yeah, you can throw Bennett in there for questions.
Jack's good.
Jack's good, yeah. Jack's absolutely good.
So those three guys, if Bynum's healthy, let's throw Bynum as healthy in there. You've got Kyrie, Varejao, Jack, Bynum. That's four. That's four really good players. Okay?
Okay.
That's more than Toronto. But then look at Detroit, and you're like, okay, they've got – Jennings is good no matter what you think of his shot selection. Josh Smith is good no matter what you think of his shot selection. Greg Monroe is good. Andre Drummond is good. And you can go down the line, and then you can, you know, if you want to say, I mean, I still think Billups is
– No.
Billups to me is not as terrible as he's made out to be.
He's really bad.
Okay, well, that's fine. But even then, we've got four there. So
yeah.
I think if we look at it from like the good players quotient, you got to think Detroit – Cleveland, Washington are all the ones scrapping for.
So then, you know, we haven't really talked about this enough in the offseason, but maybe we will the rest of this week, because, or at least in the offseason reports, because it involves three teams that had coaching changes. Then it might just come down to coaching.
Yep.
You know, and okay, so you got Dwayne Casey in Toronto. Everyone thinks he's a good coach, but he hasn't had the success you would necessarily like, but it's understandable. I mean, there's plenty of reasons why, but Dwayne Casey, we'll say, is a pretty good coach.
There are lots of coaches that the media and other coaches like who don't wind up doing a good job in place.
Right. Randy Whitman, I don't think is a very good coach. You don't think is a very good coach, but they were good the second half of last year, right?
Right.
Detroit has Mo Cheeks. I think he's a pretty good coach.
I have no opinion of him.
Okay, that's fair. And then we'll just not include Milwaukee for now. And then the Cavs. Mike Brown's a good coach. Like, yeah. You know, his stint with the Lakers has been unfairly tainted, but Mike Brown is a good coach. Like, he's the best coach out of all of those guys we just mentioned. Like, I think he's by far the best coach.
So yeah, this 7-8 range, this is going to be really tough.
Yeah, I'm willing
to consider, even though you and I are really high on the Hawks, I'm willing to throw the Hawks into that conversation and drop them into, like, there are situations I can see the Hawks not making the playoffs.
I guess if Horford gets hurt, it would be pretty hard.
Or if not having Smith around just means that they are able to – part of it's going to be if teams are double-teaming Horford constantly and they're able to neutralize him, that's going to be a really big problem.
Yeah, I got to think that Paul Millsap is so versatile and so good at moving without the ball that they can make that work. But yeah, I mean, I guess I would say the Hawks are still a lock, but I'm sure there is a scenario where their ability to make the playoffs comes into question.
They're the best team. They're the best team of that next tier.
For sure. For sure.
No, don't get me wrong. Cause somebody asked me this weekend, like, do you see a scenario where the Knicks could miss the playoffs? And I was like, I see a scenario. I find it to be 1% likely, but
right. It's also the scenario of, can you picture, you know, the Miami Heat not being the best team in the East?
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah. I mean, technically, it could happen.
Yeah, and it's not just injury. There are other ways for it to happen. I mean, it's one of the things I try and remind everyone this time of year as we start to head towards preseason predictions. There's always going to be a team that we're just like, I really thought that they were going to be pretty good, and they were not. They were just not nearly as good as we thought they were going to be. So.
Yeah, it's there is
like Boston. Boston last year was shocking how bad they were.
Yeah, even before the Rondo injury.
Yeah.
I just feel like, yeah, I think it got to the point where, especially we felt this way with the Spurs, and the Celtics to a lesser extent, but still that same kind of feeling of, well, hell, we keep thinking they're gonna fall off and they haven't yet, so let's just keep them up there until they do, and then you know the Spurs kept going and the Celtics definitely fell off.
So yeah, I mean, I guess here I think is maybe the big question. Is it a disappointment if Detroit does not make the playoffs?
I think so.
That's part of the thing is, man, like, is every team every year is like, oh, well, we want to make the playoffs. We really think you can. Except but you got to have, like, reasonable expectations.
Except for Philly. Philly is like, oh, we are not going there near there.
We are not going to make
the playoffs. God bless them for being so honest.
Did you see Wages of Wins, I think, had them, like, second? Or they had them winning the division, I think.
Oh, really? I look at the 76ers a lot like my now she's 5 or she'll be 5 years old this month. My 5-year-old niece. She's gotten in trouble. She's Australian. She's gotten in trouble in school recently, in preschool, because a kid will come up and ask her a question of like, "Do you like what I'm wearing? Do you think I'm pretty? Whatever." Like, and she'll just be very honest, which usually means, "No, I don't." And it's one of those weird things where you're supposed to like teach kids tact or whatever and how to like kind of be polite, but still, you know, you don't want to tell them that, you should lie and make someone feel better about themselves. Like, because you always teach kids not to lie. But it is something where she's getting in trouble for being honest because she's just very blunt about it. And I kind of look at Philly the same way of like, they're clearly tanking and we're mad at them for tanking, but they're not pretending that they're not tanking. Like, they're being honest about it.
They're just completely transparent. Like, yeah. Sam Hinkie is like, come at me. I don't care.
Exactly. Like, and it's this weird thing of like, you know, we should be angry at them for what they're doing, but my God, they're so honest about it. How can you not appreciate that?
They're just completely transparent with it. It's really pretty impressive.
I think the Pistons not making the playoffs should be a disappointment because they have committed a lot of long-term money to two very key positions, and they have two very good young big men. I mean, that team is talented, and that's the thing, they're talented enough to where, in theory, the playoffs shouldn't even be a question, right?
Yeah, but it's all about decision making, right?
Exactly. I'm just talking on a pure like physical talent standpoint.
Yeah,
that team is more than talented enough to be a lock for the playoffs.
If they when they click, they're gonna look awesome.
Yes.
This is something that's actually happened with the Bucks too. Is when Brandon's played well, sometimes those Bucks teams, you're like, God, this team is so much fun.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the time, you're like, God, Brandon Jennings needs an MRI.
I think, let's go over real quick. Like, okay, so they lose, they bring in Brandon Jennings and Caldwell Pope, and they lose Jose Calderon and Brandon Knight. Is that an upgrade?
I think it's a huge upgrade.
Huge upgrade.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I like Brandon Knight a lot, but I can't get past what he's been.
Okay. I think it's an upgrade, but
Brandon's problematic, but Brandon's really fast, can finish at the rim, and when he gets hot is just a supernova. Brandon Knight is a shooting guard playing point guard who shoots too much and doesn't shoot well.
Yeah, that's fair.
I like him a lot. I want him to succeed. I really want bad things to stop happening to him.
Well, then you have to kick Kyrie Irving and DeAndre Jordan out of the league. Are you willing to do that?
No.
Then bad things are going to continue to happen.
Well, no, it's not like they did repeated things to him. He has. That's the thing.
No, Kyrie did repeatedly destroy him.
But to Brandon's credit, he went right back at him and made like one out of every two shots.
Kyrie did stuff to the body that CSI is going to know he did the crime.
Mondays on CBS.
Okay, so the other upgrades. They essentially lose Jason Maxfield and Corey Maggette for Josh Smith and, let's just say, Gigi Datome. That's a huge upgrade, right?
Yeah, huge upgrade.
That's the thing. But you still don't know that this team's going to be a playoff team. And they like they didn't do great last year, but they won, what, 29 games?
You know what actually is interesting, though? If they can survive this year, if things don't detonate on them this year, okay?
Okay.
And they're able to survive and they don't have to have massive changes because it was such a disaster. If you look at where they're positioned, they're going to be clearing a bunch of cap space.
Yeah, they'll have – I mean, Greg Monroe's up for an extension, right?
Yeah, I'm not talking about a major upgrade because they've got the core. It's Jennings, Smith, Monroe, Drummond.
Right.
Right? Sham doesn't have Brandon Jennings' deal up there, so I'd have to calculate in my head, and I'm too lazy to do that.
But let's just say I think it's eight a year, right?
Yeah, so it's eight a year. They're on the books for 2014-2015 at eight per. Even if they give – Monroe an extension at 10, right?
Yeah.
That still only puts them at 50.
Yeah.
They're going to be within – they're going to have room to make a – let's add a shooter. Let's add a backup point guard. Let's add a veteran big man down low. Let's add, you know, a Jamal Crawford type. They're going to be able to get somebody good to add to this team. That's the thing is – that Villanueva Stuckey combo, and it could be this year. They've got, again, that's $17 million in expirings that Detroit's going to be able to move.
And I think you can convince somebody to take Rodney Stuckey at the trade deadline. If he has a decent first half of the season, like you can convince someone to make a deal there.
Now, I think that I'm pretty sure their pick is going somewhere else. I forget where. But I think it goes to Charlotte because of the McGeady trade is how that works out.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. So, you know, there are limitations here.
Great job, even, Joe Dumars. Jesus.
Like, but part of it, though, also is if you're in a tank situation, if you're tanking and you're just like, hey, you know, all we want is cap space, will you take Charlotteville on the wave? All right, yeah, send it on over. Like, I mean, seriously, like if you're the Sixers, you're like, oh, yeah, that's
ooh, what you should do. Thad Young?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think it's a terrible idea. You cannot put Josh Smith and Thad Young on the same team because you can't risk contamination.
No, but it'll be great, though, because then they can roll out lineups of Greg Monroe, Josh Smith, and Thad Young, and everyone is a combo at some on some positional level. Just positional ambiguity all over the place.
Oh, my God.
This team's gonna be fascinating. They really are.
I'm really excited to watch them.
And there's gonna be some pretty exciting dunks too.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, Brandon Jennings talked about like bringing Lob City to Detroit, and I really think like I just think from the highlight standpoint, I don't know if it's gonna be good basketball, but we're gonna see some insane things happen, like some NBA Jam stuff.
Part of me does wonder if, at some level, if Drummond really excels and Josh Smith has a big year and Jennings kind of shows out, even if he's just marginally better, if at some point they might consider moving Monroe.
For a wing.
Even though I think he's – I honestly think Greg Monroe might be the best player out of all of them because of – and Zach Lowe would spit at this idea because he did a breakdown of his defense. I feel like Monroe you can cover defensively. But – I just feel like there's a possibility he could wind up being the odd man out
in terms of possibly. Where the franchise goes. Someone brought up I wish I knew who. This is short-term memory problems again, but someone brought up a question of who would you rather have, Larry Sanders or Greg Monroe? And at first I just went fire out, like, obviously Monroe, and then I started thinking, well, it depends on the extension he gets. You know the money that Sanders is going to get over the next 4 years. Like, I think you could make an interesting argument that you'd rather have Larry Sanders. I still ultimately would go with Monroe, even if he's getting, you know, 13, 14 a year. But I think that's kind of an interesting, you know, would you rather. Obviously, like, what you need in terms of role. Like, if you need a much better player, I think you go Monroe. If you need a guy to kind of complete your defense and protect the rim, then, you know, You go with Sanders. But I actually think that's maybe closer than I initially assumed.
I'm a massive fan of Sanders. I did one of the behind the screens on him. I love the guy. I think he's really fascinating. I think he's going to be a very good player. He did have one good year after several of these seasons of really struggling, and yes. I want to see more. And Monroe has shown a consistent, sustained level of production He didn't improve last year, but the team was so bad, I don't blame him. Part of it also is like, and I was reminded of this because I was talking to Vincent Goodwill out of Detroit, and he reminded me of that 2011 season when the veterans revolted against
Lawrence Frank.
No.
Oh no, Chad Kuster? Kuster?
I can't really not remember his name.
Chad Kuster. Chad Kuster or Kuster? I can't remember what it is.
It's Kuster, but I don't think that's his first name. John Kuster.
John Kuster. There we go.
When they revolted against John Kuster, and I actually remember T-Mac was on that team.
Yes.
Like, all these veterans flipped out. That was what Greg Monroe walked into.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he hasn't been taken care of. He needs good parents.
It kind of sucks that you're seeing a bad kind of adjustment as he's got, like, he's taken more and more shots over the years, over his 3 years in the league. He's gone from 6.9 per game to 11.8 per game to 13.1 per game. And in that time, he's seen his field goal percentage drop significantly from 55% to 52% to 48.6%. And that's understandable. Like, it's hard to keep up that kind of efficiency when you become a volume, you know, offensive weapon. But I would like to see him creep back up over 50%.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth keeping an eye on.
And it's not that far off. I just, it's not a great trend, but it's also understandable.
It's worth noting in terms of going forward. So, but yeah, man, they'll be exciting.
So what do you give them? What do you give them for a grade? Because I don't know if we said this earlier, but we're recording this on a Tuesday. I'm writing this for Wednesday. So this is all posted on Wednesday. I don't know what I'm giving them yet.
Man, if they gotten rid of some of those contracts, I would have given them probably an A.
But like you said, they got possible options at the trade deadline.
Yeah, but you know how I feel about possible options.
That's true. Right? Not a fan. Oh, this will make you feel good.
I'll give them a B+.
B+, okay.
I'll give them a B+. They substantially improved the team while not hitting anything that comes without reservation. Like, they didn't make moves where you're just like, great, just awesome, great job. Like, they did things that are good, and you're like, this could really work out for them, but we're going to have to see a little bit.
Yeah. I'm going between a B and a B+ right now. Check out the post on CBSSports.com to see what I pick between a B or a B+. I know people will be worried.
Cliffhanger.
Just to leave you with this, Greg Monroe's similarity scores on Basketball Reference.
Oh, no.
Top similarity? Your boy, Tommy Heinsohn. Greg Monroe amazing. Is going to be a belligerent color commentator in about 30 years.
Tommy Point. That's amazing.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.